Next, we'll meet two women who wanted to change the world in which they live. They're among women being honored in Washington with what's called the Vital Voices Global Leadership Award. They get that award today. Both come from traditional societies where some women want a larger role. One of the award winners is Awut Deng Achwil. She fled a civil war in southern Sudan, but returned to play a role in establishing peace. The other is Margaret Alva, who served for 30 years in the Parliament of India.
I grew up in the south of India, Bangalore. You know, it was known as the Garden City, old colonial-type houses with gardens and greenery.
What was the role of women, particularly in politics and public policy, when you were younger?
Well, you know, our younger days, we did see a Mrs. Gandhi, who was prime minister for 16 years.
Indira Gandhi.
That's mm-hmm. right. And so we were proud that we had a woman at the top. But it wasn't really the same down to the grassroots. You see, our socioeconomic and political structures have traditionally been male-oriented and male-dominated. One of the things which I really succeeded with when I was Minister for Women in the government was demanding reservations for women in the political system.
You wanted a requirement that some percentage of the legislature should always be women, some minimum.
That seats should be reserved for women, that's mm-hmm. right. And so I presented a report in 1989, which demanded, among other things, 33% of seats for women from the lowest level, which we call the village councils, known as panchayats. And that has brought into the political system 1.3 million women. The success of this experiment has put the men on the offensive, if I may say so, because they have blocked the bills for taking these reservations forward to the state legislatures and to parliament.
Now, while you were fighting in parliament in India, Awut Deng Achwil, who's also in our studio, was growing up and becoming an activist in Kenya and southern Sudan.
I grew up in Tonj, that is in southern Sudan, a small city. I was born in war and I grew up in war. And I had that a break of 10 years of peace agreement that allowed us to go to school.
And then at the end of that 10 years?
At the end of the 10 years, in 1983, again, the war broke out between the north and the south. My husband, by that time, was detained by the regime in Khartoum. After my husband was released from prison in 1984, he has to flee the country to join the liberation movement. And I had to leave after him, after I have lost 20 members of my family were killed. And I couldn't put up anymore in Khartoum, so I had to leave the country.
How'd you get out?
It wasn't easy. I came to Kenya with my husband because he has to open a relief office for southern Sudan. We had about 23 women in Kenya, and we thought that it was important to unite the 13 different group, ethnic group that came from Sudan to work for women. From there, gradually, we were able to reach an international community and explain the flight of Sudanese women.
How were Sudanese women being treated?
The Sudanese women in the war, I think many, many men were looking towards the women to be the salvation because all the needs were provided by the women while they were fighting the war. They provided food for the soldiers, and when somebody is wounded, it is the women to take care of them until they get healed, whether it is they are in the hospital. Women also, the children who flee without their parents, where it was the responsibility of the women to take care of them.
Margaret Alva, you fought and were proud to have changed the laws on dowry in India. What was the custom that you were fighting against?
You see, traditionally we had the custom of what they call Shri Dan, or when a girl got married, she got something from the father as a gift, because inheritance rights were such that the boys inherited all the ancestral property and the girl got nothing. And what was supposed to be a gift of love became a demand by the in-laws, a settlement at the time of marriage.
The marriage became a payoff.
That's right. And very often, if they were not satisfied, they harassed the girl, they tortured her. She either committed suicide or it was supposed to be some kind of an accidental death within the home of the in-laws. But then we have tightened the laws very much now. And if the girl dies in her in-laws' home within 7 years of marriage, the presumption is that she was murdered by the in-laws.
Awut Dengachwil, how do the lives of women in southern Sudan differ from what Americans might be familiar with?
I think there is a big difference. In the United States, things are easy. You have access to clean water. You have access to electricity. You have roads that can facilitate any business. In southern Sudan, it takes a woman 3 hours to get one jerrycan of clean drinking water from a distance.
What is that, like a gallon, couple gallons?
Yeah, 4 liters or 5 liters. It takes 1 hour to go and look for firewood and bring it back. It takes 3 hours to pound grains for food. We don't have machines that can ground ready flour. And it takes you to walk a distance, 2-3 days to get to the clinic. Some have lost life on the way. So these are the things that we had to work hard to change to make the life of women easy, even to have access to education.
Do either of you feel frustrated at all that although you have made this political progress, that a lot of the problems you just described still exist?
I am not frustrated. I'm hopeful that things are changing for the better.
I think I'm not frustrated. I had always lived with hope. I think we have overcome the most difficult conditions during the war. Things are changing in southern Sudan. They are not as they used to be in the past.
Awut Dengachwil of Sudan, thank you very much for speaking with us. And thank you also, Margaret Alva of India.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both are receiving a leadership award in Washington today.